You're listening to Radio Rounds, a talk show created and hosted by medical students. Coming up on today's episode...
The medical students and the medical student section is really regarded as the conscience of the AMA. People realize that these are the people in medicine who are still the most altruistic and the most selfless. And so when the medical students talk, people listen.
That was Dr. Peter Carmel, pediatric neurosurgeon from New Jersey and current president of the American Medical Association. Today, Dr. Carmel will share with us his thoughts on the integral role that medical students play in the policy and advocacy efforts of the AMA, medicine's loudest and most influential voice to the decision makers in Washington. All that and much more on Radio Rounds right now.
Here come the radio rounding, we're rounding, we're rounding. Welcome to Radio Rounds.
Welcome to Radio Rounds, everybody. My name is John Corker.
And I'm Teresa Lee. We're glad you could all join us today, whether you're listening on the radio or via our iTunes podcast sometime in the future.
And for those of you that are new to the program, this is Radio Rounds. It's an entirely medical student-hosted radio show that really aims to showcase the qualities of humanism and empathy in medicine. We hope to provide some insight into the medical profession. I'm a third-year medical student, and last year I served as our chapter vice president for the AMA here at Wright State.
I'm Teresa Lee. I am currently a second-year student at Wright State University, and I'm currently the president of the local chapter here at Wright State.
And our topic for today is the significant impact that medical students have on the policy and advocacy efforts of the largest and loudest voice of medicine in Washington, that being the American Medical Association. Because as much as any other time in history, big decisions are being made on Capitol Hill that will forever change the practice of medicine. And physicians and medical students both really need to have a presence in the deliberation and debate leading up to these decisions. Organizations like the AMA, or organized medicine, as many insiders will call these sorts of groups, provide a powerful medium through which we can do this. So today, first, we're going to speak with Dr. Carmel about how medical students have impacted his experience with the AMA. Then we'll have a chance to hear from T.R. Eckler, who's the current chair of the AMA's medical student section, and Abby Daniel, who's currently serving as the government relations advocacy fellow for the AMA, about the importance of students continuing to get involved.
The medical student section of the AMA provides numerous opportunities for students to network with both students and physicians on a local, state, regional, and national level. Becoming involved in the AMA allows unique insight into healthcare policy that directly affects medical students, residents, physician practices, amongst other components of medicine. One of the greatest appeals to students is the chance to travel throughout the year. The annual meeting takes place in Chicago every June, and this year the interim meeting is taking place in New Orleans. Students also have a chance to visit Capitol Hill on behalf of the AMA MSS interests and speak to state representatives.
And I think it's important to note that this involvement does not end at graduation. And this is best exemplified by our first guest of the day, Dr. Peter Carmel. Dr. Carmel was inaugurated in June 2011 as the 166th president of the American Medical Association. Originally from Brooklyn, he completed his medical training at the New York University School of Medicine and his residency in neurosurgery at the Neurological Institute of New York. Currently, he serves as chairman of the Department of Neurological Surgery at the New Jersey Medical School and as co-medical director of the Neurological Institute of New Jersey. We started off by asking him to share with us how medical students have affected both his practice and his experience with organized medicine.
The AMA medical student section has more than 200 chapters at medical schools across the country, and I'm the chapter advisor. Since I've been here at the New Jersey Medical School, I have been actively involved in getting medical students into social and economic questions that will affect everybody's life. The interesting story is that it was the medical students here that got me elected president of the AMA. And to understand that statement, you have to understand that medical students have a special place in the thinking of the delegates, the House of Delegates of the AMA. The medical students and the medical student section is really regarded as the conscience of the AMA. People realize that these are the people in medicine who are still the most altruistic and the most selfless. And so when the medical students talk, people listen. In my campaign in June of 2010, we had a bunch of medical students from the New Jersey Medical School and some from the Robert Wood Johnson Medical School here in New Jersey that campaigned with me. It was very exciting to have these young folks come along from one state delegation or one specialty delegation to the next, listening to the questions, listening to my responses, adding their 2 cents worth. It was, I think, for the students and for me, very exciting. And I think the fact that the students were so responsive to the process really convinced people that they should vote for me. So I tell the students here all the time, they were the ones who got me elected, and there's no question about that.
And Dr. Carmel, I and a few of my colleagues had the opportunity to go to Chicago just a few weeks ago to participate in the AMA's annual meeting and discuss different policy proposals and deliberate to that end. Can you comment, having been present at the annual meeting, on a few highlights from those policy sessions of different proposals that really stood out to you?
Well, of course, the highlight of the session was those issues that are involved in the very active changing of our healthcare system. The Affordable Care Act and its implementation is going to change the way we practice and the way we're paid enormously. And so that conversation tended to crowd out a lot of other things that went on. But for the medical students in particular, there were a number of issues that were proposed by the medical students. And you have to remember that the medical students work closely with the resident and fellows section. They often turn out joint resolutions. And the resident and fellows section this year turned out something called a Resident and Fellows Bill of Rights. And it outlined the rights of residents, including their entitlement to a safe workplace. It said things about compensation and benefits, duty hours, and protection for people who were whistleblowers, who reported policy violations. And the medical students were active in formulating that. The other thing that was a big issue was the impact of advertising on the American way of life, the American health consumer. And the students pointed out that between digital alterations and airbrushes, et cetera, a lot of advertising advertises people who are so idealized they can't possibly exist. And it puts a burden on young people in particular because they feel this is the ideal person we're searching for. And so the resolution out of the medical student section would discourage the altering of photographs that would create an unrealistic expectation of a body image for a young person. I thought that was a very thoughtful addition.
Sure, and an astute recognition of all of the many aspects of addressing someone's health, whether it be mental health, emotional health, and how they view what it's going to take physically to be a healthy person, and injecting realism into that conversation. Certainly, those are some issues that have gotten some press since the annual meeting in June. One of the biggest issues around the country currently, at least surrounding that August Senate debt deal date, are the discussions in Washington regarding the federal budget. What are the AMA's concerns surrounding that federal budget and the decisions that are going to be made that affect the medical profession?
Well, the issue for medical students that's most pressing is that the government is trying to get out of funding of graduate medical education. For medical students, that's a terrible threat, because right now, residency physicians are largely funded by Medicare. And if that funding is cut, the number of residency physicians will decrease dramatically. This year alone, there were about 1,200 American medical graduates out of a class of roughly 18,000 who could not find a regular residency slot. Those students were forced to take what are known as preliminary positions, 1 and 2 year positions that don't lead to full residency certification. And so many hospitals, so many clinics, so many practices require residency in order to practice. So we have a real crunch coming in the number of training spots available. And my fear is that the Congress thinks that this is something that can be cut, and there doesn't seem to be anybody in Congress taking the opposite view.
And Dr. Carmel, we've been talking a lot about policy, and it's important to understand that the AMA is the loudest and most influential voice for medical students and doctors around the country in policy discussions in D.C. But one of the most interesting and important things that I heard that you mentioned in your inaugural address as president was the importance of empathy and compassion in every physician's acumen in treating patients. In fact, Radio Rounds was founded just a few years ago partially to address and combat empathy burnout during medic school, residency, and even in practice. What are some action steps that we can take to combat burnout?
I think that what happens as students move along through their medical school career, and particularly in their residency, is that the great fountain of altruism that drives students to go into medicine is shut down. And the interests of students turn more and more to their personal and sometimes their selfish own ambitions, instead of continuing to feel that they have an obligation to society. That's a hard thing to combat. But I think that it is imperative that we do that. And one of the ways I think we should do that is by making sure in our selection of medical students to go to medical school that we are selecting students who have a strong sense of societal obligation. And right now, we are more concentrated on the number of A's and the board scores than we are on the sense of altruism and societal values. And so we have to change even the way we select students for admission to medical schools.
Dr. Carmel, thanks so much for joining us on Radio Rounds today.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Next, we spoke with medical student leaders T.R. Eckler and Abby Daniel. T.R. Eckler is a fourth-year student at the University of Rochester School of Medicine and currently serves as a chair of the AMA-MSS. Before being elected chair, he spent a year in Washington, D.C., working closely with the policymaking arm of the AMA as a government relations advocacy fellow.
Abby Daniel is currently working as the AMA's government relations advocacy fellow as she takes a year off between her first and second years at the University of South Carolina School of Medicine. We started off by asking them how they got involved in the AMA.
To be perfectly honest, the reason I signed up in the first place was at my organization fair at orientation, and because I wanted the free flashcards for anatomy. But from there, I definitely looked into the resources that the AMA offered, and that's how I found the opportunity for this fellowship online and how I decided to go to Lobby Day. And from there, that's what really piqued my interest, because I definitely have an interest in policy. So that got me hooked.
For me, I'd say that you know, I kind of moved into it to an AMA house when I started in medical school. One of my roommates told me that I was going to join the AMA, and I said, well, you know, I'm a first year, but I can't just be told what to do. Like, why should I join the AMA? And he said, you know, TR, I think that when you look at all the things that you're going to do in med school and all the things you're going to learn and all the clubs and activities you're going to do, one of the only ones that's really going to stick with you after you're done in medical school and you're moving on as a resident and as a doctor is being a member of the AMA. They're the voice of medicine, whether you like what they're saying or not, and they're the organization that you need to be involved with. And I think that's held true, you know, as I've gone forward and gotten more and more involved.
So you both started out by joining an organization as a first-year medical student. Abby, you said you learned about it from your activities fair. TR, you kind of walked into it in your own home, if you will. And that seems to be a way that a lot of students dip their toes in the waters of the AMA. When we recently spoke with Dr. Peter Carmel, the newly elected president, about a variety of different issues, he was very thorough in speaking about the AMA MSS chapter that he advises at the New Jersey Medical School. I was just wondering if you two could comment on some ways, once students have dipped their toes in the water, how can they get more involved in the actual policy and advocacy efforts of the MSS once they've joined that school chapter?
I think that there's a general idea when it comes to anything involving the AMA and the student section, which is that if there's anything that interests you, whether it be service, whether it be advocacy, whether it be policy, whether it be politics, you can take that and get more involved and do more with it if you join the AMA and bring your ideas to the table. Whether that's, you know, getting involved at a local level, like some of our students had, got involved in a local task force looking at ensuring that everyone who needed it had access to the H1N1 vaccine, to getting involved at the state level and looking at scope of practice issues, and, you know, ensuring that your future practice as a doctor is protected and that people are getting care from the right healthcare professionals. Or looking at, you know, getting all the way up to the national level and taking on something like a summer internship with the AMA and the GRIP program, or Abby's job as the GRAF, as I'm sure she could talk about.
As far as advocacy goes, my best advice is to stay informed of what's going on. I think some of the best ways to do that for students is to, first of all, join the medical student online community, which is just for us, and that's where we have our blog posts. And one of the things that I'll be doing is posting every Friday on the blog about the issues that we're facing in D.C. and what the AMA is addressing on a national level, in addition to, as TR said, on a state and local level. So being involved that way through the online community and through seeing those updates and really staying informed. And then, like TR said, again, anything that you do want to pursue, what the AMA offers is the resources and the contacts to do that, whether it's national or state or local. And so if you do see something that piques your interest, that's how you can ask someone a question, whether it be anyone on governing council with TR, myself, and really see how you can jump in and help out.
You know, Abby underplays some of the things that she works on in D.C. I think a lot of students, when they talk about wanting to be advocates or wanting to get involved in policy, they want to do it, but they don't really know where. And I think it usually starts with finding an issue that they're passionate about. Abby puts out a weekly newsletter of things that are happening in healthcare from D.C. that's incredibly rich and has a lot of information in it. And I think that a lot of times the policies and the different resolutions that our students bring to the AMA and to their states and whatnot, trying to advocate for issues that concern them, come from things that they read from different AMA news sources like Abby's blog posts or some of the things that our different committees put out for information, or just the daily updates that they get as members as part of like being an AMA member and the emails and things that they get just from the national organization.
I have to add just one thing, because I would be terribly remiss if I did not throw in that a great way to get involved is through Lobby Day in February, where we host medical students, and you can learn about all of those issues that are going on, and then you take that information straight into meetings with your representatives on Capitol Hill and talk to them about it. It's a great way to get to know them and get to know their staff and really, on a person-to-person level, talk about the issues that you care about. So that's a fantastic way to get involved.
When we were speaking with Dr. Carmel earlier, he also shared with us some examples of student-initiated policy proposals that were discussed at this year's AMA annual meeting in June in Chicago. Can you two share with us maybe some interesting examples of student-initiated proposals from the past that have now become acting policy?
I think that there's a lot of really interesting issues that students have pursued over the years. I think the most famous one that is often talked about among medical students in the medical student section is the push that the students had early on to ban smoking on airplanes. It was one of those things that the AMA started that really, I think, was the tipping point in a lot of big changes that came about in the way that America looked at smoking and kind of brought it as a health hazard and less as just a lifestyle choice. But I think more recently and more to the benefit of students, I think that the students really changed the course of the AMA overall in the last 10 years with the push to make sure that the primary advocacy goal for the organization was to have the health insurance coverage for the uninsured or the Cover the Uninsured campaign. That came from a student resolution pushing the AMA to have its primary advocacy goal be coverage for the uninsured. That drove a lot of the policy debates and a lot of the support that came for the healthcare proposals that were all throughout Washington in the last 2 years. And I think that continues to drive the organization when they talk now about fulfilling that goal by talking not just about insurance coverage, but about access.
So we've talked a lot about policy and legislation in D.C. What are some cool projects or maybe some policy proposals that are just starting to get cooked up right within the confines of the MSS, of that AMA medical student section?
I think that positive body health image one is one that you really haven't kind of heard the last on. They've had coverage from the New York Times, the Philadelphia Inquirer, Chicago Tribune, Washington Post, and a few other places. I think that'll be interesting to see how that changes the debate on a national level, in a way that I think is unusual for policy, not necessarily going through D.C., but going through more of a national discussion forum and seeing how it changes behaviors. I think that one of the other ones that got a lot of discussion recently is the Global Health Service Corps and the idea that, you know, we need more primary care, we need more physicians in America. But I think that given that America trains an incredible number of physicians both here and for the world with international students that come here for medical school and for residency, whether or not we should invest as a country and as a government in the training and the you know, putting of physicians into foreign situations that need medical care and that need that.
Well, Abby and TR, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks so much for joining us on Radio Rounds today.
Thank you so much for having us.
So amongst other things, Dr. Carmel, TR, and Abby talked quite a bit about how students can get involved in the AMA. Teresa, how did you end up getting involved?
Actually, much like Abby, I decided to join the American Medical Association at our annual activities fair during orientation week. Initially, I joined because everyone seemed to be joining organizations that day. But over time, I actually decided to attend the Ohio State Medical Association meetings and was able to witness reference committees where medical students debate and vote on proposed resolutions to be passed into policy. And I discovered that the whole concept of medical students getting involved in healthcare policy, which is the biggest recruiting motivator that AMA uses, was not a facade and it was actually a reality. And I did have the opportunity to have some kind of effect on policy that not only affects medical students, but will also affect us as future residents and physicians.
And Abby mentioned the wonderful opportunity of Lobby Day, where students get a chance to go to Washington, D.C. and discuss important current policy issues with their elected officials. Much like Teresa, I was involved as an officer in our local chapter of the AMA, and I went to Lobby Day 2 years ago when healthcare reform legislation was really in the throes of discussion and debate. Nothing had been passed yet, and I had an opportunity to meet with a state senator, a couple of state representatives, as well as aides and clerks throughout Capitol Hill to spread our message about the importance of funding and advocacy for continuing medical education. Because at the end of the day, our elected officials in Washington have a lot of things on their plate. They discuss and vote on a variety of different issues in a variety of different arenas every day, and they aren't experts on medicine. So somebody has to take the initiative to go to Washington, sit down, and speak with them about why exactly graduate medical education, funding for that, and other medical issues are so important to the overall health of American citizens, as well as to the economy. Healthcare accounts for about 17 to 18% of our gross national product. So any decision on Capitol Hill regarding medicine affects the entire economy in a significant way. Now, recently, in the discussions regarding the debt deal or the debt crisis, as you probably heard on headlines, one of the federal spending categories that was proposed on the chopping block was Medicare. And Dr. Carmel mentioned that residency programs, medical residency programs throughout the country are funded by Medicare. And that funding was put on the chopping block. And we have a physician shortage across the country. And we can't train more physicians if we don't have more residency spots. And so, you know, if I had to pick one issue where I wish I would have had more of a voice and more of an opportunity to speak to my elected officials, that would have been it, because I really don't feel like if our elected officials knew how important funding for residency spots was, that they would have ever even proposed it to be cut.
I also want to make clear to all the listeners and anyone who's actually interested in joining the American Medical Association, or maybe you're currently a member and have yet to get really involved, the AMA is also fantastic because there's multiple proponents to the AMA. So it's not just about legislation on healthcare policy, but there's also committees on bioethics, on economics, and public health. Any avenue of medicine, AMA is involved in it in some way or another, and you can become involved with it too.
But it's also important to recognize that there are quite a few physicians out there, and I'm sure medical students, who may not feel like organized medicine is for them. They may feel like they have minority opinions, if you will, on certain big issues, and feel like large-scale organized medical organizations don't represent their views and don't kind of fit their interests in a meaningful way.
Right. So we'd like to take this moment to encourage both medical students and physicians out there to do some more research. You know, if it's not the American Medical Association, we just hope that you can find any organization or any medium for that matter in order to get your opinions and your voices heard on a national level.
However, if you are interested in learning more about the AMA, getting involved in their policy workings, or just to have a student leader visit your school to speak with members and prospective members, please feel free to contact T.R. Eckler at msschair, that's C-H-A-I-R, 1112@gmail.com, or Abby Daniel at abby.daniel@ama-assn.org, and you can contact them directly. They'd love to speak with you. We'd just like to thank our guests, Dr. Peter Carmel, TR, and Abby, for joining us on Radio Rounds today. Please make sure to tune in next week for our episode with Dr. David Casserette, author of Last Acts.
In the meantime, interact with us via our website, www.radiorounds.org, where you can listen to past episodes on demand. Podcasts of all our past episodes are also available as free downloads on iTunes. Just search the iTunes store for Radio Rounds. You can also email us, join our Facebook group, and follow us on Twitter. All that information is on RadioRounds.org.
And we just want to give a quick shout out to our new Director of Communications, Ms. Erin Breedlove, who is revolutionizing our social media presence on Facebook, Twitter, and beyond. Be sure to check out our Twitter page by searching the handle @RadioRounds. Check out our new website, as well as our new tagline, Today's Stories from Tomorrow's Doctors.
We'd now like to thank and credit those who made today's show possible.
Production made possible in part by MedPlus Advantage, sponsored by the American Medical Association, providing group disability and life insurance to students and residents through participating educational institutions. Visit us at MedPlusAdvantage.com.
Radio Rounds is proudly partnered with the Student Doctor Network, online at studentdoctor.net. Have questions about medical school or residency? Check out SDN Answers to view frequently asked questions or ask one of your own, available online at studentdoctor.net.
And a big thanks to the rest of our staff here at Radio Rounds, and of course, to all of you listening. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed on Radio Rounds are not representative of the views and opinions of the Wright State University Boonshoff School of Medicine. Again, join us next week or download our next podcast. For everyone here at Radio Rounds, I'm John Corker.
And I'm Teresa Lee. And one day,
we'll be your doctors.
Here come the radio rounding, we're rounding, we're rounding. Welcome to Radio Rounds.